Friends, there is a time for outrage, and this is one of those times. But we will take that and channel it into something constructive for the glory of God.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us. Michael Brown here. This will be a special and important broadcast. I encourage you to call a friend, send them a message on Facebook, email them, text them, tweet them, encourage them to tune in or listen later to the broadcast on our website at askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. I won't be taking any calls today, but I encourage you strongly to take in everything that we're going to talk about. This is one of these very important, fundamental shows where we let you know what's happening in society so that we can be stirred to holy action. As followers of Jesus, that doesn't mean anger towards people. As followers of Jesus, that doesn't mean negative action towards people. It means standing up for the truth, standing up for what's right, living out lives that please the Lord, and doing what is right within our own families and, as we're talking about the children today, being a positive influence in our schools and in our communities. I'm going to share some things with you today that I believe will get your blood boiling. But again, there's a holy and good and righteous way to deal with these things because we're not fighting with people. Our enemies are not people. I want to say again, there is a common devil who hates every human being and wants to destroy every human being, men, women, and children. He's our enemy. He's our spiritual enemy. He wants to destroy gays and straights alike. So, as it's Wednesday, and we focus on moral and cultural issues here on The Line of Fire, prepare to be stirred, prepare to be concerned. We will take this all to the Lord in prayer, trusting that He will do what is best, and that He will intervene on behalf of this world that He has created. Now, what I'm going to start with is not the heaviest stuff of the day, all right? So I'm going to start here. Remember Jesus is Lord. Remember His ways will ultimately triumph in the earth. Remember that He is with His people who put their trust in Him. And in that sense, we are never outnumbered because He is with us as we lean on Him and look to Him. I say these things to stir our hearts to action. I say these things to stir our hearts out of complacency. I received this email from Ontario, and it's a matter of real prayer. October 6th, Ontario provincial election. The National Post has run a full-page ad on Saturday, September 24th, on the impact of the EIE policy on Ontario schools on page 27 of the news section. Now, we have not followed that policy specifically here on the broadcast, but we have talked at length about the sexualizing of our children, the introduction of concepts, terms to little children that have no business knowing these things that the great majority can't relate to at all. And we've shared what's happened in schools in Canada with real serious concern. And I documented in A Queer Thing Happened to America as well. Here's the ad. It shows a large picture of a little girl. And underneath, I'm a girl. Don't teach me to question if I'm a boy, transsexual, transgendered, intersexed, or two-spirited. Ms. Premier, you promised to remove this from my classroom, but my teachers are still being forced to teach your curriculum. My mommy says she's not allowed to withdraw me from class. You are forcing her to. Then it lists the names of three leaders. Please tell me you will stop teachers from confusing me. I face enough in the world already. And then it shows selections explaining contents from the TDSB Equity Manual. Friends, things are happening in our schools. Things are happening to our kids. Now's the time to arise and do what it's right. Back with a lot more.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire broadcast. Hey, one last reminder to all of our listeners in WEZE in the greater Boston area. If you live within an hour, even a couple hours of the greater Boston area, join me tonight, this Wednesday night, in Malden. We're having a special radio rally. This is not just a church service where I'll be appearing and speaking. This is a radio rally specifically for all of you that listen. It'll be at Malden First Church of the Nazarene. If you need further details, just go to AskDrBrown.org. It's right on the bottom of the homepage. You can click on the church info there and get further directions. It'll be at 7 o'clock tonight. I'm going to be giving a free DVD to everyone that comes, be giving you a word of encouragement and inspiration, as well as taking some of your questions, and we'll have a book sign if you'd like me to sign some books there as well, and getting to meet you face-to-face, which is the biggest part. So please, by all means, join me. We'd love to see you. I believe it'll be a special night tonight. I'm not taking any phone calls today. I've got some very important things I want to share with you, so sit back, take this in. Allow us to be a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. Let me say once again, when you hear some of the things I'm going to share, you may feel like pulling your hair out, or you may get mad at people, or you may just get discouraged and want to throw in the towel. Let me tell you that that's the very reaction that the devil would love for us to have. The very reaction would be quit, it's hopeless, give in, there's no way. And look, this could be with a host of different issues. You might live in a country where Christianity has faded dramatically and Islam is rising. You want to throw in the towel. No. Jesus is Lord. His kingdom will triumph. Those that look to him will be radiant. So we hear these things to stir our hearts and to pray, but not to give way to fear. Now, here's a few things I want to talk to you about. I just shared an ad from Ontario with elections that are coming up and some real issues with what's happening in the schools. Here's just something I found very encouraging and positive. Central United Methodist Church posted a roadside billboard in April that said, "Being gay is a gift from God." And that message prompted Reverend Tony Scott of the church on Strayer to offer a different perspective. The megachurch recently purchased 9 billboards that proclaim being gay is not a gift from God. Forgiveness, love, and eternal life are. Hey, if you're going to put up your billboard at Central United Methodist Church, "We believe being gay is a gift from God." Well, another church is going to put up their message, "Being gay is not a gift from God. Forgiveness, love, eternal life are." Way to go. You've got an issue with what someone is sending out in their message. Send out your own and send it with the message of forgiveness, love, and eternal life. Here's the story that I wanted to share with you that is really creating outrage and shock around the world, but we shouldn't be shocked. We should be outraged, but we shouldn't be shocked. All right, listen to the story. It comes from England, actually, but it's a story about the States. The lesbian parents of an 11-year-old boy, they adopted him, who was undergoing the process of becoming a girl, last night defended the decision, claiming it was better for a child to have a sex change when young. Oh, okay, I am going to read more of this article. I'm a grandfather. Nancy and I are grandparents of 4 amazing grandchildren. The oldest is 10, a girl, then a boy, almost 8, then another boy, almost 8, just 5 weeks behind him, then a girl, almost 5. So even though it's been a long time since our kids were that little, we have grandkids that are this little. And the idea of working with kids this young to actually have them on hormone blockers and to actually have them identifying as the opposite sex and to have parents involved with this, Dr. Paul McHugh, who is Johns Hopkins University, distinguished psychiatric professor, the head of the psychiatric department there, a man who worked years ago to get the hospitals to stop doing sex change surgery. This is not only Johns Hopkins University Hospital, but other major hospitals affiliated with universities stopped performing sex change surgery. Okay, they did it for years, and they stopped. Before I was on the Tyra Banks show last year talking about, quote, transgender children, I emailed Dr. McHugh, and I said, has anything changed in your viewpoint? It's been years now since you were involved with the hospital and counseling these patients and post-op patients and so on. Has anything changed in your viewpoint? And he said no. And he said to me that doing anything to these kids physically, psychologically, when they are still children, okay, if you're going to now put them on hormone blockers, if you're going to do any of these kinds of things to these kids, he said it is a form of child abuse. This is a distinguished psychiatrist. This is a man who's had presidential appointments to councils because of his prestige as a psychiatrist. And he said, a case like this, and I don't even know if he was thinking of anything this extreme, would be child abuse. Child abuse. Here's the story. Thomas Loebel, who now calls himself Tammy, is undergoing controversial hormone-blocking treatment in Berkeley, California, to stop him going through puberty as a boy. What if he was tormented with something else? What if he was tormented with the notion that one of his limbs should be amputated, which is another known psychiatric condition? What if he was tormented with the thought that he was an animal in a person's body or changed into an animal? We'd say that the kid is troubled. We'd say the kid needs help. Here, rather than trying to get to the root of his problems, and as we always say, help him from the inside out, instead, he's being put on hormone blockers, and he's been treated in certain ways by his lesbian parents since he was 8 years old. Don't tell me that a little child being raised by two mommies is not going to have some kind of gender confusion or some type of gender identity confusion. And the earliest ages, many psychologists would say between 1 and 3 years old is when so many of the formative things happen in a kid's life, which is why kids will say, or adults will say, no, I was born like this, I've always been like this, because it goes back to very early in their childhood development. Here's a boy being raised by two lesbians. There was another case from Australia recently where a boy was being raised by two lesbians, and they were dressing him up in girls' clothes. They thought it was cute, and they're dressing him up in girls' clothes, and pictures got posted publicly, and the boy got pulled from their household. And the people that placed him there said, we had no idea what we were doing. We had no idea what we were doing. Oh, I know. Not every lesbian couple is going to do this. Not every gay male couple is going to do this, and only a small percentage might. But in every single case, these kids are guaranteed to have either no father or no mother. And I was just in Chicago with some friends as I was doing ministry in a bunch of different settings last week. And I was talking to a mom and dad. The mom had graduated from our ministry school. The dad has a PhD in New Testament and teaches at the branch of our fire ministry school in Chicago. And they're talking about their four kids that they have, four little kids. And there was another young man with us, and we were talking about his kids and so on. And I was saying, you know, it reminds me of things moms can do that dads just can't do. That there's I remember raising our kids, that there are things Nancy could do I just couldn't do. Ways she understood how to relate to them, and insights that she had, and a role that she played in her life that I didn't have and I couldn't have because I'm not a woman. And in the same way, there were certain roles that I played with the girls and with our family that Nancy couldn't play because she wasn't a man. And you know, I've watched with our grandkids growing up, and I've watched things that they've learned from their parents and behavioral patterns and traits and likes and dislikes. And so much of it is just the way you're raised. And it's well known that as a general pattern, boys who are raised by two mothers tend to be feminized. girls who are raised by two mothers tend to be masculinized. And we've had people call into the Line of Fire. I'm not taking calls today, but we've had people call into the Line of Fire. One woman from Long Island, I remember, raised by lesbian moms. She said she'd take a bullet for them. She loves them dearly. But ultimately, she had to leave the household as a teenager because of the destruction it was having on her own life. And the attitudes that they had towards men, the negative attitudes they had towards men as lesbians, were terribly detrimental in her own life. Regardless, though, of the cause of this boy's gender confusion and what psychiatrists would call gender identity disorder, whatever the root is, you don't put a little child on hormone blockers and then they want him to have sex change surgery at the earliest possible age. This is nothing less than insanity, child abuse.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I am back, and my heart continues to be passionate about this subject. We're talking about children. We're talking about sexualizing of children. We're talking about something that can only legitimately be called child abuse. Not taking calls today, but please, by all means, call your friends. Encourage them to tune in and listen. If you miss any part of the show, please do listen to the entire hour. Go online to askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Later this afternoon after the show, you'll be able to hear the entire hour. Our website, askdrbrown.org. Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. I may be interacting with some of you on real time if you want to post your comments and thoughts there. Okay, we're talking about a few different things, but all related themes having to do with children today. And we're talking about a case in California where two lesbian parents, adoptive parents of an 11-year-old boy, have now said yes. Since he's been 8 years old, they've been processing him towards sex change surgery, and they wanted to have him. They want him to have it now rather than later. It's a little child. Now rather than later, because that would be better for him and his own adjustment. Aside from the insanity of all of this, putting aside the fact that most kids who have gender identity disorder as their children, according to research that I've read, most of these children, once they get past puberty, most of them no longer want to be the opposite sex. Now, a boy that wanted to be a girl growing up may end up gay. Many of them end up gay, all right? I'm not saying they're all going to end up straight, heterosexual, and fully adjusted sexually. I'm simply saying that most of them will not want to have sex change surgery once they get past puberty. But putting all that aside, these are little children. It's not up to the parents to make these decisions. It would be like the parents saying, you know, we think that our child is going to be too sexually active, this boy, so we're going to castrate him, you know, to prevent him from getting into trouble or difficulties like that. Come on, you don't do this to kids. Plus, with the hormone blockers and things, there are other researchers that say you got to be very careful with this. We don't have enough data in terms of the long-term health effects on these kids. So you put them through these hormone blockers so they don't start to develop. Say a boy develops as a boy, now he has certain physical male characteristics. You can go through sex change surgery, but he's still going to have many of those same male characteristics, or a girl with female characteristics. In general, most commonly speaking. So, the idea is you put them on these hormone blockers, it'll delay the onset of puberty and give the child long enough to think through what he or she really wants to be. Look, when I was 16 years old, I wanted to be a rock drummer, a world rock star, high on drugs and partying. That's what I wanted to do when I was 16 years old. You know, God graciously intervened in my life and wonderfully saved me and transformed me. In December 17th of 71, I said, I'll never put a needle in my arm again. And I was free from that day on by God's grace and power. But when I was 18 years old, I didn't want to go to college. I only went to college to honor my parents. I didn't want to go to college. I didn't know I'd end up with a PhD in Semitic studies and end up doing biblical research and scholarly work as part of my calling. The thought was nowhere in my mind. And you're, oh, Okay. Dr. Paul McHugh, I quoted him in the last segment. He is a distinguished professor, Johns Hopkins University, head of the psychiatric department there. He emailed me November 18th, 2009. So it's actually going on 2 years ago now. I was thinking more was like a year and a half. So almost 2 years ago, right before I was on Tyra Banks' show talking about, quote, transgender children, this is what he said to me. I hold that interfering medically or surgically with the natural development of young people claiming to be transgendered, he has the word transgendered in quotes, is a form of child abuse. Can I read that again? I hold that interfering medically or surgically with the natural development of young people claiming to be transgendered is a form of child abuse. And again, just to tell you who Paul McHugh is, he was let me get to his bio here. Let's see, Johns Hopkins University, head of the psychiatric department, a member of the President's Council on Bioethics, University Distinguished Service Professor of Psychiatry, chairman of the Johns Hopkins Psychiatric Department. And what he said was that we would do much better trying to fix the people's minds than their genitalia. All right, back to this story. I know it's rough to hear the story, but I'm going to read more to you. The boys' lesbian adoptive parents, Pauline Moreno and Deborah Lobel, warned that children with gender identity disorder forced to postpone transitioning could face a higher risk of suicide. Look, nobody wants to see a child or an adult kill themselves. I mean, it's the ultimate tragedy in many ways. But if that becomes the reason for doing all kinds of bizarre things, well, they were going to kill themselves, then the sky is the limit. And not only so, do you know there's a very high level of post-op suicide or suicide attempts after people have had sex change surgery? I'm talking about adults, and you read the story, oh, I'm content, and I'm happy, and it's wonderful, and I now feel good about myself for the first time in years. And do you know how many of them still have suicidal thoughts or suicidal attempts or even commit suicide? It's stunning and saddening to read. That's one reason that some of the major university hospitals discontinued sex change surgery some years ago, because they realized they weren't dealing with the deeper issues that were troubling people. The mothers say that one of the first things Thomas told them when he learned sign language age 3 because of a speech impediment was, I am a girl. Well, maybe he's identifying with his two mommies and wants to be like them. Or maybe there are other issues going on in the kid's life. Come on. At age 7, after threatening genital mutilation on himself, psychiatrists diagnosed Thomas with gender identity disorder. By the age of 8, oh, God help us. And God help California, and God help these lesbian ladies. By the age of 8, he began transitioning. This summer, 11 years old, he started taking hormone-blocking drugs, which will stop him from experiencing puberty. I agree with Professor McHugh. This is a form of child abuse. Now, I know you're riled. I know you're upset. I know I'm upsetting you in sharing this, but let's really pray for this family. Let's pray that God would intervene and work in a miraculous way and bring about incredible change. Okay, on a lighter note, I want to send you some DVDs I think would really bless you. We've made them very inexpensive, so I hope most all of you will be able to take advantage of this. Our TV show, Think It Through, our New York City and other city documentary TV show, Jewish Outreach, you'll find fascinating. The two DVDs, An Incomplete Religion and A Rest Beyond the Sabbath, both of them sent you for just $10, postage paid. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. And as you order, you're helping hold our hands up in this important ministry work that we do. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, my privilege to be with you by God's grace, seeking to serve you as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church often in compromise. When I talk about things like I am today, what's happening with our children, with our young people, I know it's very disturbing, and I know we can get upset and just, you know, get so frustrated. The goal in sharing these things is we need to know them. We need to wake up to reality. We cannot stick our head in the sand as if these things are not happening. On the flip side, there should be a holy and good response. These things should break our hearts. Some of you are in tears as you're listening. Go to prayer. Pray for this little boy who's being, quote, transitioned by his lesbian adoptive parents at a young age. It's child abuse to do this to a kid. And in any case, I've said that 3, 4, 5 times, quoting Professor Paul McHugh from Johns Hopkins University. I know some of you are moved in different ways. Pray. Be determined where you are. Okay, you're involved. You're a church leader. You're involved in schools. You're involved as a parent. You're involved just as a follower of Jesus. We can make a difference. If we all decide we're going to speak up, we're going to stand up, we're going to do what's right, not in hate towards people, not in anger towards people, not trying to intimidate, not, God forbid, through acts of violence that the world engages us. No, absolutely not. Instead, through acts of mercy and kindness, standing up for what is right, standing up for truth, refusing to back down, we can make a difference. In my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, if you don't have it, again, I strongly, strongly encourage you to get a copy for yourself and read it. Order online at Amazon, order from our bookstore online, or anywhere you can get it. But by all means, get the book, read it. You'll see the importance of it. I document a lesson that is designed for elementary school children. And it is put out by GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, which I say is really the Gay, Lesbian, Sexual Education Network. And they have an exercise. They have an exercise called Discovering Your Inner Tranny. I'm not making this up. I actually bought their curriculum that they use and lesson plans. It's an activity for elementary school children called Getting in Touch with Your Inner Tranny, meaning your inner transgender identity. It has as its stated purpose to help participants better understand and personally relate to the breadth of issues around gender identity expression, asking the children questions such as, have you ever been told, act like a lady or woman or girl, or act like a man? What was the situation? How did it make you feel? And why? If you see someone on the street whose gender is unclear to you, how to react both internally and externally? Little children who don't even understand gender identity. Kids came home from a school in California the other day, and they asked their parents, why is there a man dressed like a woman at our school? And this school, you know, the kids can't wear, like the girls can't wear spaghetti strap dresses that, you know, just show a little too much skin, or you can see their bra strap with the spaghetti strap dresses, you know, the spaghetti strap over the shoulders. And this man, dressed as a woman, was breaking that rule as well. But the insanity of it, that you have these dress code rules, and you enforce them, and no, you can't have this. Someone shot me a note about in their school, the kids can't wear flip-flops and sandals just because they're too noisy going down the hallway. You can have that. You can say, no, the girls can't wear this. I talked about some cheerleaders in one school. They can't wear their cheerleading outfit because the skirts are too short and the folks in the school are upset with it. You can have all that, and that's good, and that's fine. And I agree with it. I agree with the school having these kinds of standards or whatever they find practical. But for a man to dress as a woman, no. We have to accept that. We have to embrace it. We have to celebrate it.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you. Look, we talk about some very heavy, difficult issues on the broadcast here. The goal being to stir us to holy action. The goal being to stir our consciences to prayer, to live right ourselves, to pour into our kids rightly, to get involved in our churches, to get involved in our schools, to get involved and make a positive difference. We don't fight hatred with hatred. We don't fight anger with anger. We get stirred in our own lives, and then we turn that into positive, constructive action. We need to stand up and do what is right and help any way we can, because there are kids who are being abused. There's no other way to put it. No matter how sincere teachers or parents may be, what's happening to some of these kids is absolutely wrong. You can listen to the entire broadcast. If you miss any part of it, at AskDrBrown.org. AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. And my last reminder, everyone listening, WEZE, the greater Boston area, tonight, just a few hours from now, the reason I'm going to be there is for you. If you're not there, hey, the night won't be the same. It'll be a special listeners rally, radio rally. I'll be ministering a short word of encouragement to you, taking your questions face-to-face, giving a free DVD to everyone that comes. It'll be at Malden First Church of the Nazarene. Malden First Church of the Nazarene in Malden, 7 p.m. tonight. So just back to this story about the California boy raised by adoptive parents, lesbian parents. They may really care about him, but depriving him of a dad is absolutely not the best thing for him. And now putting him on hormone blockers and starting to transition him sexually and socially at the age of 8, and then hormone blockers at the age of 11, is crazy. The summer, he started taking hormone-blocking drugs, which will stop him from experiencing puberty. The hormone suppressant implanted in his upper left arm will postpone the 11-year-old developing broad shoulders, deep voice, and facial hair. The couple faced intense criticism from friends and family as a result, one of the mothers told the British publication here. Everyone was angry with us. How could you be doing this? You must be ruining his, might be ruining his whole life. Citing a statistic from the Youth Suicide Prevention Program, she noted over 50% of transgender youth will have had at least one suicide attempt by their 20th birthday. Maybe there are other psychological issues they're dealing with. Yes, the feeling of being tormented that they're in the wrong body is part of it, but in order to try to commit suicide, you have to have other issues. Suicide researchers have told us that with young people in particular, 90% of those who are bullied and harassed, they're not going to even try to commit suicide because there is some underlying mental health issues in 90% of the kids that commit suicide. What happens? What happens to people after sex change surgery or older cross-dressers who don't have sex change surgery? There's still a disproportionately high number of suicide attempts and suicidal thoughts and depression. That's the reality. So according to the story here, what can happen is that if he decides a little later, he'd like to just be a boy. Maybe he'll say he's gay, but he wants to be a man. Maybe he'll become heterosexual. Then he can go through puberty later. First, there are no solid studies that indicate the effects of putting a kid this young on hormone blockers for years in terms of long-term health effects. Secondly, how normal is it now? Let's say he's 17, 18, and he's going to start going through puberty then and it's just going to be fine, perfectly adjusted, no problems. You're experimenting with the life of a child. You say, yeah, but he was going to kill himself. Well, then get to the root of the problem and fix him from the inside out, or do your best to fix him from the inside out, as opposed to changing everything about him from the outside in. I wrote an article, you can read it on townhall.com, just came out yesterday. It's called The Girl Who Thought She Was a Werewolf Vampire. Just go to townhall.com, plug in my name in the search engine there, and you'll see a list of all my articles. And this one, I strongly encourage you to read, but I'm going to share it with you here. The Girl Who Thought She Was a Werewolf Vampire. How would you respond to these three different scenarios? Scenario number one, a troubled teenage girl says to you, since I was like 12. I know this is going to be crazy, but I believe that I'm a vampire. Part of a vampire and part of a werewolf. What would you say to her? Probably something like, vampires and werewolves do not exist. In case you didn't realize, you'd also tell her that the Twilight books are novels and HBO's True Blood is not a reality TV show. Unfortunately, the story here is all too real. This vampire-werewolf confession was made by 18-year-old Stephanie Pesty in the aftermath of the grisly murder of a 16-year-old boy. What if this teenager was diagnosed with clinical lycanthropy, a mental illness, specifically a psychiatric syndrome, that involves a strong delusional belief in the afflicted person that they have transformed into an animal, often a wolf? This is the definition from werewolves.com. Seriously. You'd probably say to her, you really are delusional and in need of help. What if she filed her teeth and drank blood? Your answer would presumably be the same. You're a human being, a girl, not a werewolf or a vampire. So I assume we're in sync so far, right? Okay. Scenario number two. A man is convinced that there's something terribly wrong with his body, and he wants to amputate one of his limbs. What do you tell him? Perhaps, I understand you're tormented by this, but you don't amputate a perfectly healthy part of your body. What if this person was diagnosed with BIID, Body Identity Integrity Disorder? This is a condition that, according to BIID.org, is commonly manifested by a desire to have an amputation of a specific body part. We're talking about a perfectly healthy limb. Once again, I assume your answer would be the same. You have a psychiatric condition, and you should not try to amputate your limb, regardless of what your mind tells you. Not surprisingly, in January 2000, when Scottish surgeon Robert Smith amputated the legs of two healthy men suffering with BIID, there was widespread outrage, and his hospital put a stop to his actions before he could accommodate a third patient. It's true that the men were reported to be much happier after the surgery, but I imagine we would agree that it would have been far better to deal with their mental condition rather than amputate their limbs. Now, by the way, from a spiritual viewpoint, I'm completely open to the fact that there are other spiritual factors going on in these people's lives. Some may have a diagnosable psychiatric condition. Some may have other issues that are more spiritually diagnosed. Either way, my point is you don't amputate the limb, you don't file the teeth and drink blood, but you don't cater to the person's delusions, no matter how sincere they are. And look, there are numerous documented cases. I've listened to and read the stories of some of people with BIID, so-called, that amputated a limb or were able to successfully get it amputated. You know, one guy froze his one of his legs from the knee down in ice, and the first time they saved his leg, which depressed him even more, the second time they had amputated, he's been so happy since then. He has been thrilled since then. Well, I'm glad he's happier, but you know, picture going to a dentist and saying, you know, I'm tormented by my teeth. I want you to pull every one of my teeth. What dentist would do that? I mean, who wouldn't say that's malpractice? Okay, scenario number three. A man comes to you and says, I'm convinced that I'm a woman trapped in a man's body and I want to have sex change surgery and go on female hormones for the rest of my life. What would you say? Well, not that long ago, the answer to this question would have been just as simple. I know that you really believe that you're a woman. But the fact is, you're a man, biologically and anatomically, and you just can't change from male to female. Today, such an answer is often considered highly insensitive, if not intolerant and bigoted. After all, don't we know that some people are really born in the wrong body? Well, actually, we don't. As expressed by Dr. Paul McHugh, whom I've quoted a couple of times already from Johns Hopkins Psychiatric Department, the chairman of the department, we psychiatrists would do better to concentrate on trying to fix their minds and not their genitalia. What about people diagnosed with gender dysphoria or gender identity disorder, GID? Well, is this markedly different than people diagnosed with BIID? As expressed by Selwyn Duke, sure, it strikes us as the most horrid malpractice when a doctor amputates healthy body parts, such as a pair of legs, but then should we call it something else just because those healthy body parts are between the legs? And note that neurological differences in the brains of transgenders are most likely the result of their gender identity struggles rather than the cause of them. So just as people who identify as transgender are convinced that they're trapped inside the wrong body, people with BIID, to quote Dr. Christopher Ryan at University of Sydney Psychiatrist, see themselves and have always seen themselves as amputees. The fact is, we know that our minds don't always tell us the truth, and they're far more malleable than our body. So if our mind tells us something that biology clearly says is wrong, it's likely our minds are misleading us. Somehow, though, this simple observation often escapes the GID debate. Unfortunately, rather than focusing more of our attention on trying to help transgenders from the inside out, sex change surgery is now glamorized and gender is viewed as something subjective and malleable. Okay, I've just got a little bit more of that article I'm going to share with you. Again, if you'd like to read it or post it for yourself, it's on townhall.com. The girl who thought she was a werewolf vampire. All of you on Facebook or Twitter, when you go there, click on recommend or tweet, and it will then share it to your other friends on Facebook and Twitter. I know this stuff is frustrating, but we have an answer through Jesus that can make a lasting, wonderful difference. Don't lose hope, but trust in God, who is faithful to the end.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are down to our last segment. Amazingly, there's so much to say about this. Friends, let me encourage you again, if you don't have a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, get a copy. You can get it for any e-reader you have, be it Kindle or Nook or iPad. You can get it, of course, in a beautiful hardcover. Best way to order is just go to Amazon.com. Hey, if you've read the book but haven't posted a review yet, would you please do that? Go to Amazon.com. If you've genuinely read the book, please go there and post a review. It's so helpful for other potential readers to see what folks are saying who've actually read the book, especially when you have some bogus reviews of folks who haven't read it that just come on with attacks. It's good to get the truth out if you've actually read the book. I'm not taking calls today, but again, you can interact with me in real time on Facebook and ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. We've talked about an ad in Ontario featuring a little girl. There are elections this week. Little girl saying, please, please don't confuse me. Got enough things to deal with already. Don't confuse me by making me wonder, maybe I'm really a boy, maybe I'm a transsexual, maybe I'm transgender, maybe I'm two-spirited. You said these things weren't going to be in the schools anymore, and they are, and my mommy can't opt me out. We started there. We've been talking about this very, very disturbing case from California about a boy being raised, an adopted boy being raised by lesbian moms, aside from all the other implications of his sexual identity and identity as a male, being raised by two women and the confusion that quite naturally will bring. Aside from that, because he said he's a girl since he was three, they're quote, began transitioning him at eight. They've got him on hormone blockers now at 11. I know there are doctors in four different cities in America that will work with kids like this, and they feel they're helping. There are plenty of other doctors that say, no, this is outrageous. You don't do this. And kids are not at the age where they can make intelligent decisions like this. That's a simple fact. And to finish the article I've been sharing with you, the girl who thought she was a werewolf vampire, that was just posted on townhall.com yesterday. I said again there that the fact is we know that our minds don't always tell us the truth, and they're far more malleable than our body. What do I mean by that? Look, one day you may feel great about life and the next day terribly depressed. One day you may feel that all is well and the next day feel like the bottom has fallen out. One day you may feel good about your looks and the next day think you look terrible. One day you may like a certain person and the next day not like them. One day you may be interested in a particular thing and the next day not interested. Our minds can change much more easily than our bodies in that respect. I don't mean just the natural development of our bodies over a period of years. But I mean, you know, to have four working limbs, for example, to have two working eyes, two ears, you know, that's a lot more for life, barring some strange injury or disease. That's a lot more for life than your emotions and your temperament. And even deep identification things in your own life. So, if our minds tell us something that biology clearly says is wrong, it's likely our minds are misleading us. Somehow this simple observation often escapes the GID debate. Unfortunately, rather than focusing more of our attention on trying to help transgenders from the inside out, these are people that need help. and from a gospel perspective, need God to make them whole from the inside out. Heal the brokenhearted. This is another aspect of being brokenhearted. Instead of doing that, trying to focus more of our attention on trying to help them from the inside out, sex change surgery is now glamorized, and gender is viewed as something subjective and malleable. In fact, as I document in A Queer Thing Happened to America, but I'll share with you here, the Los Angeles Unified School District Reference Guide goes as far as to say, gender identity refers to one's understanding, interests, outlook, and feelings about whether one is female or male or both or neither, regardless of one's biological sex. Yes, that's what it says. A biologically normal child who is female, male, both, or neither? Is this much stranger than a girl claiming to be part werewolf and part vampire? There was a comment I saw, very, very interesting comment that I saw on the Town Hall website. I don't read many of the comments there, especially if an article gets several hundred or hundreds in response. But this was very, very interesting observation from Dan. There's a basic difference between the three different cases you give above. One of someone thinking they're a vampire or a werewolf. The other is thinking they have to amputate a limb. And he said, the first two cases are extremely rare, though valid, and few have heard of them. In the case of transgender operations, young people and even children are bombarded with the idea of mutilating their bodies and lives. Those with gender identity problems, millions of the young and innocent and confused, are at grave risk of being brainwashed into this in-the-wrong-body delusion. The clincher is that suicide levels, drug use, crime, and psychiatric disorders, disorder numbers among post-operative transgenders is astronomical. The media on this is an astonishing pack of lies. All the research I've done, Dan, confirms that very, very true. Okay, so what do we do with our emotions here? Don't get mad at people. Remember, as I've said many times, the devil hates everyone. He hates these lesbian moms, partners. He hates this boy, Tom, that they're calling Tammy. He hates you. He hates me. He wants to destroy. If you have anger, have it towards the devil. And war in the spirit. Pray, cry out to God to move, and then stand there for what's right. Get involved in your schools, parents. I know many of you are homeschoolers or send your kids to Christian schools, but find out what's happening in the public schools as well. Pastors, leaders in your churches, determine that you're going to educate your people. Determine that as being salt and light in the moral and social conscience, you're going to do something. And by all means, call your people to pray and cry out to God. We need revival. Friends, we need revival. You say, well, I believe Jesus is coming any minute. Well, let that be the case. But the fact is, he hasn't yet come in our lifetimes. And he hasn't come in the lifetimes of anyone who's lived up to now. Therefore, it behooves us to do what's right now and to cry out to God for revival and to look at our own lives and see how in our own lives there may be disorder, there may be things in our lives that are wrong, that are destructive. Let's stand and do what's right, friends. Hey, can I encourage you to give us a call right now at 1-800-278-9978. The number is 1-800-278-9978. If you believe in what we're doing and want to hold our hands up and help us reach more people through this radio ministry, it's the hub of everything we do in our ministry. Give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. You can make a one-time donation. You can become a monthly torchbearer. And I want to encourage every one of you, for just $10 today, we want to send you two of our DVD TV shows, Think It Through, one called An Incomplete Religion. It's Judaism, An Incomplete Religion. The other, A Rest Beyond the Sabbath, eye-opening shows that are really bless and encourage you. We'll send you the two DVDs, $10 postage paid, because we want to get them to as many of you as we can. Friends, my bottom line today, we are in an insane world. We are in a world that is out of control, but that's the way it's always been since Adam sinned. It is up to us who know God to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, glorifying Jesus. We can do it.